The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts, Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد نبي الرحمة كاشف الغمة وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. So we're continuing to look at the 40 hadiths on praise of Allah Most High and His attributes from the 40 sets of 40 hadiths by Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani. And hadith number 11 is an amazing hadith related by Imam Muslim عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن قلوب بني آدم كلها بين أصبعين من أصابع الرحمن تبارك وتعالى كقلب واحد يصرفه كيف شاء كيف يشاء ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك رواه مسلم. Our beloved messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, truly the hearts of the children of Adam are all between two fingers of the fingers of the All-Merciful, Mighty and Majestic, as one heart, which he turns as he wills. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. That, oh, turner of heart, O Allah, O turner of hearts, turn our hearts to your obedience. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And there's a number of these hadiths on, of du'as on turning the heart. Right? Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub. Others, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub. Right? Because the heart has two things. The heart has called the heart لِأَنَّهُ يَتَقَلَّبْ. It is given to turning. Right? And it's given to turning, some ulama said, the heart only has two sides. It either turns to something or turns away from something. In that sense. Right? Abu Madian says, لَيْسَ لِلْقَلْبِ إِلَّا وِجْهَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. The heart only has one face. I mean, one way that it turns. So be keen that it turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not away from Him. So here, truly the hearts of the children of Adam, all humans. Inna quluba bani adama kullaha. Right? Truly, the hearts of all the children of Adam. Right? Entirely. Here, it's important to have tadawwuq, to feel the meanings of the language. Because the inna indicates what? Tawqeed, emphasis. Truly, indeed. And kul, here kullaha is for emphasis. Because if you say the hearts of the children of Adam, it indicates all of them. Generally. Right? But you could imagine a general statement could have exceptions. The kul here turns it into an absolute statement. Right? Truly, the hearts of the children of Adam, all of them, right, which takes away the ihtimal of the possibility of exceptions. Right? Because Imam, in logic, You know, a general statement could have exceptions. Imam Damanhuri, in his commentary on Akhdari's Sulam, he uses the example, if you say, Ahlul Azhar Ulama, the people of Azhar are scholars. The general statement. But it's not like saying, Kullu Azhariyin Alim. It's not the same as saying, every Azhari is a Alim. It says, because when you say, Al Ahlul Azhar Ulama, the people of Azhar are scholars, it says, وَفِيهِمْ مَنْ لَمْ يَشُمَّ رَائِحَةَ الْعِلْمِ. He's speaking in his time, he says, and from them are those who haven't even whiffed the scent of knowledge, let alone attained actual knowledge. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is the emphasis. Truly, the hearts of the children of Adam, all of them, are between two fingers of the All-Merciful. قَقَلْبٍ واحد, as though one heart. And this is tamthil. We look at the interpretation of this, because this is from the Mutashabihat. As though one heart. يَصْرِفُهُ, which he turns, as he wills. And this is a tamthil. That although, who is he? He is Ar-Rahman. He wants good for his servants. But Rahmatuhu, Rahmatun Jalaliyya. Wa Jalaluhu Jamaliyun. Rahmaniyun. They say, his mercy is majestic. And his majesty is beautifully merciful. Because he is both. إِنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَإِنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Right? I am the most merciful and compassionate, the most forgiving and merciful, and my punishment is indeed stern and intense. Right? We affirm both the mercy and majesty of Allah. So here it's talking about majesty, that all of creation, their hearts are between two fingers of the fingers of the All-Merciful, as though one heart. And he can turn it as he wills. كَمَالُ التَّصَرُّفِ, complete control. One of the adab in narrating things like this is not to use fingers to say like this, because the Prophet ﷺ did not do so. And in similar hadiths, not exactly this one, Imam Ahmad said, anyone who does so says, أَوَدُّ أَنْ أَقْطَعَ أَصَابِعَهُ. I wish I could cut off their fingers. Not a legal route, because it's as if it's a lie against the Prophet. But he didn't say that. He didn't indicate that. Then the Prophet said, O Allah, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. O Allah, O overturner of hearts, turn our hearts to your obedience. Right? And this hadith is related by Imam Muslim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his sahih. Here, there is an important point, right, which is on the, what is meant by the expression asabi' ar-rahman, the fingers of the all merciful right, inna quluba bani adam kulluha bayna isba'in, right? So Imam Abdul Rauf al-Munawi, in his brilliant commentary called Faydul Qadir, which is a commentary on a work called Al-Jami' al-Saghir by Imam al-Suyuti. Imam al-Suyuti gathered 10,000 spoken hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ, there's a hadith qawliyah, which are the spoken hadiths, and then there's a hadith al-fi'liyah, which describe the actions of the Prophet ﷺ. And there's a hadith that, there are hadith wasfiyah, a hadith that describe the Prophet ﷺ. Right? And there's a hadith, tazkuru, or the hadith they say, iqrariya. The hadith that affirm what the Prophet ﷺ confirmed or negated. Iqrar. Kunna naf'alu kadha fi ahdi Rasulullah. We used to do such and such during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. That's considered a hadith. Because there's an iqrar. Or such and such was done in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَمْ يُنْكِرْ عَلَيْهِ, and he did not negate it. So different type. So Imam al-Suyuti took 10,000 spoken hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ. which are the words of the Prophet alayhi salam. And he called it al-Jami al-Saghir, the smaller compendium, because he's one of the scholars who tried to gather as many possible of the transmitted hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a larger work called al-Jami al-Kabir, which is much, much larger. But al-Jami al-Saghir, and he arranged it alphabetically, which is very useful to look hadiths up as facilitation. You have a hadith that is a spoken hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unless it's a very rare hadith, almost inevitably you'll find it in Al-Jami al-Saghir. So it's a very, very useful work. And the ulama paid a lot of attention to it, so many of them wrote commentaries. The most notable, and to show the importance of it, Imam al-Munawi wrote several commentaries on it. At least three. Okay. The larger one is called Faydul Qadir. Fayd is the overflowing assistance of the all-powerful on Al-Jami al-Saghir. It's a brilliant, brilliant work, and it's a clear, nuanced, but very profound commentary. It's beautiful. And Imam al-Munawi was a very special scholar for many reasons, which we won't go into. So he says that truly the hearts of the children of Adam, all of them are between two fingers, he says. Huwa subhanahu qadirun ala taqlibul qulub biqtidarin tam. The meaning understood from it is that Allah Most High has the power to overturn hearts with complete power and ability. Iqtidar. Just complete power and ability. Right? Why? كَمَا يُقَالْ فُلَانْ بَيْنَ أُصْبُعَيْ. Like in the Arabic language, you say, so-and-so is between my fingers. بَيْنَ أُصْبُعَيْ. يُرَادُ بِهِ كَمَالُ التَّصَرُّفِ. What's meant? That you have complete control over them. Like the expression in English that how many a married man is wrapped around his wife's finger. But it's not literal. That poor brother Tariq, sister Tariqa has. I mean, it's absurd, right? But the meaning is understood. فَهُوَ تَمْثِيلٌ. So it is a tamthil. It is an example, right? It is metaphorical, right? Or the two fingers here refers to, Imam al-Munawi says, the two urges, the da'iyatain, the two urges. Because Allah has placed in the heart two urges. لَأَنَّ الْقَلْبَ صَالِحٌ لِمَيْلِهِ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَالْكُفْرِ. Because the heart has the capacity within it to incline towards good, to faith, and towards disbelief, towards belief and disbelief. وَلَا يَمِيلُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِهِمَا إِلَّا عِنْدَ حُدُوثِ دَعِيَةٍ وَإِرَادَةٍ يُحْدِثُهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And it doesn't incline to one or the other except upon the originating of a da'iyah, of a call and a will that Allah originates in the heart. So the heart has two fingers, two inclinations it can incline to, both created by Allah. Possible potential to incline towards belief or disbelief. Right? As if it's two faces, right? Two fingers. So the heart has two fingers. It could go this way or it could go that way, between good and bad. Right? Both created by Allah. Asabi' al-Rahman here, be fingers of the merciful in the sense, and fingers from the merciful. Right? Because the idafa in the Arabic, the ascription, can be of ownership, that they're Allah's, or that it's from. Right? Right? As anyone who understands the language. قال الطيبي وفي جمع القلوب إشعار بِرَأْفَتِهِ ورحمته على أمته. And At-Tibi was a brilliant commentator. He wrote a great commentary on Mishkat al-Masabih. Which is very Mishkat al-Masabih, which is by a scholar called At-Tabrizi, was a very interesting, very unique work. Because At-Tabrizi took a previous work, which is called Al-Masabih or Masabih al-Sunnah by Al-Baghawi, and he rearranged it. He called it Mishkat al-Masabih. Very great, great summary of the central hadith of the Prophet ﷺ arranged by chapter. And At-Tabrizi had the unique distinction of being one of the very few scholars in Islamic history who authored a work that his own teacher commented upon. So At-Tabrizi compiled Mishkat al-Masabih, which was commented upon by his teacher, At-Tibi. It's a very rare thing, because usually students comment on their teacher's works. Okay. And At-Tibi was a very distinguished scholar, rahimahullah ta'ala. He also wrote a hashiya on the Kashaf of Imam al-Zamakhshari. So he says, in qulub bani Adam, in the hearts, the plural here indicates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's care and mercy for all his community. Right? Or the care and concern of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ummah. Min asabi ar-Rahman. Right? He says, Min asabi ar-Rahman, Imam al-Munawi says, that the fingers of the All-Merciful, nasabat taqallub al-qulubi ilayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala ish'aran bi'annahu yatawalla binafsihi amra qulubihim. That ascribing the turning of the hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is to indicate that he himself is the one who has control over their hearts. وَلَمْ يَكِلْهُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّن مَلَائِكَتِهِ. This is not something that the angels take on. وَخَصَّ الرَّحْمَانَ تَعَالَى بِالذِّكْرِ إِذَانًا بِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ إِلَّا لِمَحْضِ رَحْمَتِهِ. And it mentions the fingers of all humanity, of all the children of Adam, are between two fingers of the All-Merciful, that what does he want from them? He wants mercy. He wants mercy for them. Right? But he will grant them what they choose. He will only deal with them in another way if they insisted on it, or if they truly deserved it. That al-aslu huwa ar-rahma. Right? The basis is mercy. وَلَا يَخْرُجُ عَنِ الْأَصْلِ إِلَّا لِقَاطِعَ. Right? That one doesn't, that basis of divine mercy is only left because of something clear. Right? That Allah does not turn someone's heart away from the good, away from faith, away from guidance, except because they truly either chose it or they truly deserved it, like through dhulm. Nothing turns a heart from faith, from belief to disbelief, from guidance to loss of guide, to misguidance, from good to evil, except something decisive, because al-aslu huwa ar-rahma. Right? That's the wisdom here, right? Of ar-Rahman being mentioned. Because لِمَحْضِ رَحْمَتِهِ وَفَضْلِ نِعْمَتِهِ. So that's one aspect, right? Now, and also that because Allah that this is under Allah's control, and the basis he deals with them with his mercy, and he doesn't write against them that which their mere inclinations, for example, right? That the basis of the state of the heart is because we get bad thoughts. Does Allah take us to account for them? We get inclinations. Does Allah take us to account for them? No. So many things that come to the heart, but the heart is under Allah's mercy. And that much of, we get up, we feel upset, until we decide, until we accept the disbelief, the evil, the wrong, the ill thought, till then, right? So we chose it fully. Until then, it's under divine mercy. Right? يُقَلِّبُهَا, and he turns it as he wills. Right? كَقَلْبِ كَقَلْبٍ وَاحِدٍ. Right? And of course, each heart is dealt with on its own. It's as if one heart, that there's, it's, it is not in any way, you know, a burden on him, right? Right? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. It is the easiest, it is the least of matters for him, right? But then the issue, that how do we understand, right, that the term أَصَابِعَ الرَّحْمَنِ, literally the fingers of the All-Merciful, right? Some of our literally inclined, methodologically divergent brethren, may Allah guide us in them, they say, well, we see that Allah has fingers, literally. But they're not like our fingers. And that is completely, we affirm what Allah affirms. Right? So I say Allah has affirmed, or here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has affirmed the term Asabi' al-Rahman, the fingers of the All-Merciful. But from that to say, but it's a different thing to say Asabi' al-Rahman, the fingers of the All-Merciful, and to say the All-Merciful has fingers. Okay? It's like Naqatullah, Allah's camel, does not mean that Allah has a camel. It's a camel from Allah. Right? So the idafa تحتاج إلى تعيين. Right? The ascription linguistically has several possibilities. It could be belonging to him or from him at a very simple level. Right? And then the language is either literal, which is the basis, or metaphorical. And the position of Ahl Sunnah and of the absolute overwhelming majority of the ulama of language, almost without exception, and the ulama of usul, and the ulama of tafsir and fiqh, etc., is that just as the Arabic language has metaphorical usage, as the poetry of the Arabs would confirm, as the usage of the Arabs would confirm in specific, and as every human language has metaphorical usage, right? You say, the maple leaves were killed yesterday, were slaughtered. It doesn't mean that rahmatullahi alayhim, that there'll be funeral services at the maple leaf gardens, right? For the deceased maple leaves, and sometimes you wish that that the whole enterprise would die, right? But it's understood, right? Similarly, so how do we understand this expression, right? The basic thing is, one problem, what is the point of the hadith? The point of the hadith is not to talk about Allah's limbs. What is the meaning understood from the hadith? كمال التصرف, complete divine sway. Number one. Number two, the basis of Allah's dealing with the heart of His creation is what? So complete control of Allah. The complete need, our complete essential neediness. Our very hearts are under Allah's control. We are in complete need of Him. but he is merciful with us. Right? So we're between these realities, recognizing his complete control, our complete neediness, fully recognizing his mercy, always seeking from him, relying on him, asking him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the point. The point isn't to affirm Allah has fingers because of this hadith. That is, someone who says that, that's anthropomorphism. Right? So, Imam al-Munawi quotes Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, says, وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ الرَّزِيُّ وَهَذَا عِبَارَةٌ عَنْ كَوْنِ الْقَلْبِ مَقْهُورًا مَحْدُودًا مَقْصُورًا مَحْصُورًا مَغْلُوبًا مُتَنَاهِيًا وَكُلَّمَا كَانَ كَذَلِكَ امْتَنَعَ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ إِحَاطَةٌ بِمَا لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ فَالْإِحَاطَةُ بِجَلَالِهِ مُتَعَذِّرَةٌ. Right? This, what we understand from that, it is, right, that the heart is maqhur, is under the complete control of Allah. The heart is limited. Right? It is surrounded. It is overcome. It is perishing. Right? And everything that's like that, right, cannot encompass all things. Right? And it cannot truly know Allah himself even. Because your heart is so limited. How can something limitary know the infinite fully? Right? It is not talking about ascribing limbs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is absolutely nothing like unto him. And that is what, that is the decisive, clear affirmation. We understand the meaning indicated, affirmed by the text, and as for the specific thing, we say لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ and we move on. Right? The principle in the mainstream of Ahlul Sunnah, as Imam Laqani puts it, وَكُلُّ نَصٍ أَوْهَمَ التَّشْبِيهَ أَوِّلْهُ أَوْفَوِضْ وَرُمْ تَنْزِيهَ. Every text that would appear to indicate similitude, a sharing of qualities. We have fingers, Allah says, Allah's Messenger says, أَصَابِعَ الرَّحْمَنِ, the fingers of the merciful. There's two ways of it within Ahlul Sunnah. أَوِّلْهُ, interpret it. And of course, this is addressing those who have the capacity of interpreting. Fingers of the All-Merciful here referring to his power and control. But that's not A equals B, but that B is understood from A. We understand from it, in accordance to the usage, I have him in my fingers, in my grasp. Doesn't mean literally. So where is he? I don't see him there. Right? Meaning having control over something. Right? Interpret it, awfawwid, or consign the meaning to Allah. But the tafwid, awfawwidhu warum tanziha, but always pursue the path of transcendence. Always pursue the path of affirming Allah's tanzih. Okay? Okay? He is al-Quddus. He is the absolutely transcendence and sacred and pure of any similitude with perishing creation. We also understand from this hadith the absolute necessity of being between hope and fear. Between hope and fear. Always feeling needy. Even if the qalb is in janib al-khayr, we always know that there's a janib of shar that is potential. We may find faith, but we may find belief in our hearts and we're grateful. But we are also careful that the potential for disbelief lies in the heart. And the heart has the potential for all opposites. So when we find the good predominating, or the good face is forward, faith, guidance, good, we are grateful, but we are cautious of their opposites. Right? So we never have amn. And we never feel safe with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the potential for the opposite does exist. But also we understand the opposite. That if someone either ourselves or someone, is in disbelief, the potential for faith is always there. If someone is in misguidance, the potential for guidance is always there. If someone is in sin, the potential for obedience is always there. Right? Right? And that's the, you know, that's, and then the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, O Allah, O turner of hearts, turn our hearts towards your obedience. So this is the, this hadith, it required some detailing on this point, right? But you also see how different an emphasis the great classical commentators have from the shallowness of literalism. Truly the hearts of the children of Adam are between two fingers of the fingers of the All-Merciful, right? Meaning are under the complete control of the All-Merciful. Right? So the complete control, which is under the the majesty of, but under the majesty of whom? Of the All-Merciful. And you understand in that the base of Allah's dealing with us, because our reality is our heart. Right? Is His mercy. And that also that He overlooks so much with that takes place within the heart. Our thoughts and our inclinations are excused. Right? Our thoughts and our considerations and even our inclinations are excused. We're only accountable for our choices. Internal choices when we resolve, or external choices when we act. Right? Which is why we'll read the next hadith too. And عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يموتن أحد منكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله تعالى رواه الإمام أحمد ومسلم وأبو داود وابن ماجة. In this hadith related by Imam Ahmad and Imam Muslim and others from the great companion Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله تعالى عنه, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, let none of you die except having a good opinion of Allah, mighty and majestic. And husn al-dhan, have a good opinion of Allah. Right? Which is why Ibn Ata'illah, looking at so many of the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, said, ثَلَاثٌ مِنْ أَخْلَاقِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ أو ثَلَاثٌ مِنْ أَخْلَاقِ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And this is in the Hikam al-Sughra, and you can find the exact quote. There's three qualities that are from the qualities of the chosen servants of Allah. سلامة الصدر وحسن الظن بعباد الله وحسن الظن بالله وحسن الظن بعباد الله. There are three qualities of the qualities of the friends of Allah, of the chosen servants of Allah, the awliya. We see there's numerous hadiths that prove this, and it's commanded to as well. سلامة الصدر, to have a heart that, to keep one's chest clear, right? Not to have ill will or ill feeling towards Allah or towards Allah's creation. Not to be negative with Allah, not to be negative with Allah's creation. Salamatul Sadr. To keep one's chest clear of any negative feeling towards Allah or His creation. وَحُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ, and to have a good opinion of Allah. Right? That when one sees, when something happens, to see it in a good light. To see the actual mercy in it or the potential mercy in it. To see the manifest favor in it or the potential favor in it. Both in pleasing things and in displeasing things. Right? Right, as Ibn Ata'illah says, how often, you know, it may be that he caused you to commit this sin, and it may be that it's the last sin that he's destined for you to commit. Maybe he's teaching you something. To have a good opinion of Allah. And to have a good opinion of Allah's creation. Not to think ill of them. So this is, and you know, and this is related to the previous, of course. Right? To have a good opinion of what is happening to you. So You have a good opinion of Allah, but husnul dhan, you have a good opinion of Allah, so therefore you respond to the thing in a manner that's hasan, in a manner that is good, indallah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any questions before we stop, before we pause? So the three qualities are salamat al-sadr, have a clear heart, which is to avoid thinking ill thoughts, being negative about Allah or to be negative about Allah's creation. Number two, husnul dhan billah, to have a good opinion of Allah, wa husnul dhan bi ibadillah, to have a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servants. And we'll read the next hadith very brief. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر الله بعبد إلى النار فلما وقف على شقتها التفت فقال أما والله يا رب إن كان ظني بك لحسن فقال الله تعالى ردوه فأنا عند ظن عبدي بي فغفر له رواه البيهقي. So such a cute hadith, subhanAllah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and may we never experience this in any way whatsoever, right? Except the last part, right? That Allah commanded a servant of his to the fire. So when the servant stood at the edge of the fire, he turned around, the servant, and said, truly, O Allah, truly by Allah, O Lord, I used to have a good opinion of you. But he didn't really do anything about it, right? Because he was deserving of the fire. Like, so what predominated was his ill deeds. He said, but O Allah, I had a good opinion of you. And Allah Most High commands, bring him back. For I am in accordance with my servants, I am as my servant thinks of me. So Allah forgave that servant. That's the power of faith and power of having a good opinion of Allah. And of course, Shaytan himself experiences. Shaytan, if you want to understand the mercy of Allah, Shaytan, in that tremendous manifestation of divine wrath, when Allah casts him away, as Shaytan was amongst the closest, appeared to be amongst the closest servants of Allah. The angels looked up to Iblis because he was more worshipful than the angels. That's why he was min al-malaika, because he was amongst them. Though, kana min al-jinn, but he was of the jinn. So Allah casts him away, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he says, fa'anzirni, give me some time. إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, till the day that they're resurrected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْذَرِينَ, and you will be of those who are given time. Of course, they say, at that time, if Shaytan had humility, and if he just said, forgive me, he would have been forgiven. He asked, and Allah answered. But also tells you to have a good opinion of Allah. Part of having good opinion of Allah is to let go of one's sense of self, humility. He was too arrogant to ask for forgiveness. He was too self-centered to ask for that. أنا خيرٌ, I. Right? أنا خيرٌ, I am better than him. So, but he knew Allah enough to say, give me some more time to the day that they're resurrected. And Allah granted it. Even though Allah knows, and it's, of course, with Shaytan, there's also divine wisdom. Because it all happens by divine wisdom. Did Shaytan go against Allah? Yes, he did go against, he went against Allah's command. He did not go against Allah's will. Who created Shaytan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who allowed Shaytan to get the inspiration to disobey? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all under the wisdom of Allah. Right? And that's how Allah created them. Right? But we should, the point being, we should, that even in the worst of scenarios, if Shaitan could have his dua answered, then what a, you couldn't possibly be as bad as Shaitan. Okay? So you should have a good opinion that your dua would be answered to. And this is the point, that this person who's already judged against him, that this is of the people of, will be punished in hell, on the edge of hell, turns around and says, tells you about the power of faith too. Says, oh Lord, I used to think well of you. And Allah will forgive. As Ibn Ata'illah says, لَا تَتْعَدَّ نِيَّةُ هِمَّتِكَ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ فَالْكَرِيمُ لَا تَتَخَطَّاهُ الْآمَالُ. Said, let the intent of your aspiration not turn to other than Allah. For the most generous, even the highest of hopes, cannot go beyond his generosity. SubhanAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to realize us in that.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.